All right, well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all. Welcome to the RPM Subteam for Sunrise Data Review Call on Wednesday, the 15th of May, 2019. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you're only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? All right, hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes. And also please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Julie Hedlund. You can begin, Julie.
Thank you very much, Julie. This is Julie Hedlund from staff, and I'll just quickly go through the agenda. Item one is the updates to statements of interest. Item two is a very brief update on the work plan and timeline. Three is the development of preliminary recommendations relating to questions 8, 10, 11, and 12. And item four is any other business. May I ask if anyone has any other business? Seeing no hands, I'm going to go back to agenda item one and ask if anyone has any updates to their statements of interest. Seeing no hands, then let me go to agenda item two and ask Ariel to bring up the work plan and timeline. And Ariel, if you could let us know where we're at, that would be great. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Julie. This is Ariel Lam from staff. As you can see that we're ahead of schedule at the moment. So today we will talk about Q8 and because that discussion hasn't been wrapped up in the last meeting. And then after that will be Q10, Q11, and if we have time, Q12. So after these questions, there are two more agreed Sunrise Charter questions left. That's the preamble question and Q5B. And in addition to that, there are four more individual proposals left. And you can see that's a 1, 3, 7, 8. And we estimate that the subteam should be finishing the work by ICANN 65 and hopefully before the start of the meeting. And just one more note is the staff and the co-chairs have discussed about the one single document that shows all the proposed answers and preliminary recommendations that we have captured. And that will be shared with the subteam at the end of the deliberation for you to check the wording and provide suggestions and input and also identify gaps. So that's all I have for now. Thanks, Julie.
Thanks very much, Ariel. And then let me go ahead and go to the next agenda item three on the discussion of preliminary recommendations. And I'll go first to David McCauley. I think who has an update from last week's call. There was actually an action relating to question 8 from last week's call as well that Ariel can speak to after your update, if that's okay, David. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. It's David McCauley speaking. Hello, everybody. And as is our recent practice, Greg and I, the person who chaired the last call, will just give a brief summary to sort of set the table and create the context for where we were at the end of the call last week. And I chaired last week, and so I'm happy to do that. What I'm going to do is put in chat a link to the transcript from last week's call. We started with charter question 8, and that's the charter question that asks about limited registration periods, approved launch programs, and qualified launch programs. And the two large points that came out of that discussion were, and I think Susan made this point best, is that we should not conflate these three. They are distinct. We shouldn't, for instance, conflate the ALP with the approved launch program with the limited registration period, et cetera, et cetera. And the other thing that we spoke about is that this is of particular interest to registries and a number of persons amongst our registries were at the GDD summit last week, and so we mentioned that we should be willing to give them a chance to speak up on this. We then moved to question 9. There's been a spirited discussion on the list, as you can see, about question 9, and it has it's centered around a proposal that Michael Karanikolas made. The question on charter question involved and 9 is, should the scope of Sunrise registrations be limited to the categories of goods and services for which the trademark is actually registered and put into the trademark clearinghouse? Michael made a proposal in this respect, and he and Kathy made the point that gaming is a problem, that data and anecdotes show us that, and that this is a discrete, specific solution. And they also mentioned it's not just about registries and brand owners, but also registrants have to be kept in mind in dealing with this. Claudio, Phil and Brian, both in their personal capacities, and others, I think John McElwain, Susan, weighed in with questions, probing, and contrary positions on this, making the point that this might be, the problem doesn't seem to justify the kind of bureaucracy or complexity that this might involve, and not convinced that this needed a separate problem. Suggestions that maybe this could be addressed in the SDRP process, tweaking that a little bit. Greg asked some questions trying to tease out information about what's the definition of abuse that we're dealing with in this proposal, and what would be the method that a person would use to show use of the mark in the space related to the top level domain, you know. And so it was a spirited discussion. It's continued on the list, and that is roughly a summary of what went on last week. So thanks very much, Julie. I'll turn it back to you. Or I'm sorry, I'll turn it over to Greg.
Thank you, David, for that excellent summary. And thank you, staff, for getting us here. Couple of things. One, unfortunately, I have a work commitment at the top of the hour. So assuming we're still engaged in a robust discussion, David will chair the last half hour. Second, there's something that perhaps could be AOB, but I'm not going to be around for AOB. It's, I think, you know, maybe a clarification of our working method in this subteam. I think it extends to the trademark claims subteam as well, but that's not my job. So I'm going to just apply it to this, which is that, and this is kind of in response to some email that Claudio sent saying that maybe his proposal shouldn't go forth as a recommendation from the subteam that goes up to the full working group, but just be something we kind of throw out for public comment. And I think, you know, in this phase, that is not the way we're working. Individual recommendations or recommendations that, you know, start being discussed in the group don't get wide support. They're not going up as potential recommendations to the whole working group. So there's not a kind of a second list in that regard. So wanted to clarify that, especially since Claudio is on the call. So I think, based on my notes and on David's discussion, that we are still discussing question 9 and individual proposal 13. Staff, is that correct, or are we elsewhere?
And Craig, it's Claudio. Can I just get in the queue at some point to respond to what you just said?
Sure. Why don't you go ahead now? And I think we do have to go back to Sunrise question 8 because we skipped it over the last time. So go ahead, Claudio.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if it makes any difference to what you were describing as the working method, but I guess the point I wanted to clarify is what we've been doing now is putting forward proposals. And there's been an assumption that they are being put forward for potential adoption by the Fuller Working Group, and then being part of the final report. So, am I correct from what you're saying? Then it's not possible to put forward something that's not a proposal and put something forward for potential public comment.
I think something that essentially takes on the form of a proposal or recommendation probably would not go forward that way. So I don't think that's possible. That's not to shut the door on anything other than potential recommendations. Many preliminary reports have had questions in them, follow-up questions, gating questions, you name it. So I think, you know, there's more to a report potentially than just preliminary recommendations, but not putting forth preliminary recommendations that didn't get wide support in this group being put forth in a different guise. Hope that clarifies that.
Yeah, no, it does. And exactly what you said actually was what I was thinking, which was, and I'm just trying to understand maybe how this would work. Maybe I would just wait until we're back at the plenary at the full working group level, but my thought was, because of the discussion that we had, where there was a lot of helpful feedback provided, and I was working through that and changing the proposal. And in the process of doing that, I realized that there was going to be significant changes made, and that it would help to get input. To provide an example, Kathy provided some feedback about Sunrise B and how it would work that way. And so I was thinking of listing the proposal with some questions for the community, for the registries and the registrars to weigh in during the public comment process, just to get more information around how the proposal would be operationalized and just things like that. So I guess my only question is should I wait until some later point to do that when we're back at the plenary session?
No, that, actually the opposite. We have an open discussion thread on this topic, including this proposal at this time. The proper thing to do is to, I guess, after this meeting, run, do not walk, to that discussion thread and put what you want to put in that discussion thread to keep it moving and going. And what might result from that is an actual, you know, recommendation with wide support. Or something where we've honed it and we actually might have legitimate questions about something that we agree, you know, could potentially be a recommendation subject to certain questions. But the idea, the larger idea is that these subteams, claims and Sunrise, are essentially acting as gates or filters for both individual recommendations, individual proposals, and also for, you know, proposals that are intended to become group proposals. In other words, all proposals put in front of the group are intended to be reviewed and either put forward as potential recommendations if they have wide support or are not moving forward. I mean, you could always, you know, go to the plenary and say an incorrect decision was made and want to reopen that. I'll leave that to the co-chairs about how open would they be to that, but there is, you know, a presumption that we're trying to figure things out in this group in terms of, you know, what we move forward with, and that there really isn't a huge functional distinction between individual proposals and a proposal an individual makes that is intended to become a group proposal. Either way, it's either a successful proposal or it's, and if it's not, it doesn't move forward.
Okay. All right. That's very helpful. Thank you.
No problem. So I think now seems like the discussion we have in the list is more going to question 8, and that's the first one under item 3 in the agenda. So we should actually go to the to question 8, not to question 9, and discuss the LPs, if you will. I think what we have here, on question 8, on the limited registration periods, approved launch programs and qualified launch programs, are limited registration periods in need of review? Same question for approved launch programs and qualified launch programs. And then are there P ALP and QLP periods in need of review, and what aspects of the LRP are in need of review. Fairly abstract questions in a sense. And I take the seriously the idea that we need to distinguish these three things and probably talk about them more or less separately, or at least two together and one separately. I see Maxim's hand up, followed by Christine. Maxim, please go ahead.
Maxim Alzoba for the transcript. Could we please switch back to the document describing, 9, where there were words about the approved launch plan of Uni Registry? As far as I know, there is a huge difference between some kind of launch plan approved by ICANN and the ALP, which is approved launch plan. As far as I know, Uni Registry doesn't have it. So they might be, we need to change wording to avoid confusion. ICANN approved launch plan, each TLD has to have launch plan, and ICANN approves it. But ALP is something different. It's something where GeoTLD applied to have special kind of plan. For example, instead of Sunrise in the first place, it's Sunrise for the local trademarks, for example, and then the generic TMCH Sunrise. Could we switch the screen back to the document?
This is Ariel from staff. Maxine, we're not clear what document you're referring to because we're talking about the Sunrise Agree Charter Question QA. That's about ALP, QLP, and LRP. And the proposal number...
Proposal number 9. Could you switch to it, please?
You mean Claudio's proposal? That was related to question number 1.
The previously shared document, which has big 9 in the left corner. Could you please?
That's the individual recommendation number 9.
Okay, just know that it has a factual mistake with the wording approved launch plan. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Maxine. Christine, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is Christine. And I guess I sort of wanted to follow up with the point that Phil actually just made in the chat about that question 8 does not propose any modifications, just asks whether they should be reviewed. What are we going to do? I was actually going to suggest a path forward because this is really open-ended. And in the group where we came up with this question, it kind of, I don't actually recall if this was, I know Lori chaired this group, but if, and she's not on, but if this question came from some of the, what we had called our issues report or whatever document we were working from, or if this was something that we organically came up with as we were reviewing. But I think that one of the problems we had is we didn't have a lot of information. And I know that there, as Maxine pointed out, there's only been one or two ALP, QLP type things. A lot of registries have run limited registration periods. I know Amazon's got experience with those. But there isn't a lot of data out there specific to the problems these people faced. So I think one of the things we could do here, and I'm going to propose this path forward as a straw person, and people can shoot holes in it if they want, is that we put that out to the community in our initial report, and we say, we have gotten limited feedback that the way, you know, that the way that the ALP/QLP/LRP systems ran did not intersect well with the Sunrise period. They were kind of really forced, and they made it unnecessarily hard for certain registry operators. What we need is from people from the community to come forward and specifically describe the problems that they had and suggestions for improving that interaction? What would have made that interaction easier and better? That way, when we go back to write our final report, we'll have some information, because the survey did ask for a little bit of information, but I think we only got one of those responses. And unfortunately, I don't think anybody really talked about LRPs in our survey. So this might be a situation where we need to actually use the initial report as a way to gather the missing information, so we know from the people who are being affected what solutions would have worked for them. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. I see Kathy Kleinman next. That's very helpful. Kathy, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. I actually just put it into chat that I support Christine's way forward, and that I think we should give our best shot at kind of explaining what these terms are and seeing if people agree, and then seeing if we can kind of put our finger on what we've heard at various public sessions going back almost to the beginning of the working group, that there's a real problem here, but what the solution is clearly something we don't know. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And I guess in an indirect answer to Claudio, this may be the kind of thing where we ask questions rather than merely throw out, preliminary recommendations. And it's not so much that we have a recommendation that we need to ask questions about that isn't getting traction, but rather that we're in need of information, data, anecdotes, whatever you want to call it, to know what the issue is and see if we can help these two programs intersect better. We have to think about how we would do this. Will we just put this in for public comment? And if we do, we need something, as Christine suggests in the chat, that essentially is an issues report. We need to look at the definitions, the official definitions that exist, and see if they actually solve the problem of having a definition that is understandable. Kathy notes that they appear to not solve that problem. It looks like we definitely need some information, and Christine notes, more than data. We need suggested solutions. So that's, I think, the invitation is for suggested solutions. I don't know that we have enough of a feel for the problem to suggest solutions ourselves, which is kind of where we stand at this point. Maxim, please go ahead.
Maxim Alzoba. Actually, as I reported to the group before, I had conversations with GOTLDs. The group of the registries who had geo applications and then became geo registries. And currently, the result was, yes, QLP wasn't the best thing, but we could live with that if the reserved names ideas do not change. Please see QLP, ALP, and limited periods with the reserved names, with ability of registry to reserve and release names. Because without it, there will be no way to deliver police.newyork to police of New York. And metro of some city which is older than the trademark holder itself. The metro shops to be delivered to, for example, Paris. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxime. Christine, your hand is up.
Oh, thanks. This is Christine. I was going to, I was typing in the chat, but since I left my hand up, I'll just say it. Response kind of to Griffin about the definition of ALP, and I want to just clarify that my specific comment is people who wanted to or did participate in either an ALP, a QLP, or an LRP, they know who they are. We don't need a lot of time to define or tell the community what these things are. If you were in one of those and you got screwed, you know that, and I think you have some pretty solid feedback, and I don't think it's going to be super hard. And then I see Julie has a comment. Do you have some suggestions, questions to suggest that the subteam could recommend being included for public comment? Not off the top of my head, but I'm sure I can come up with something and email it around. Thanks.
Thank you, Christine. Susan Payne, please go ahead.
Thank you. Although I can see Maxim has his hand up, and I think he was. Oh, okay, it's gone. Sorry. I was just going to say, someone's been noting, I think it was Maxim, that there's only been one ALP. He's correct. As far as I'm aware, there has only been one that's been approved. There have been a handful that have been applied for, and they, for whatever reason, haven't gone forward. And so, like Christine, I think we have a really defined group who have some feedback. And whilst I would love to be able to say that the ALP process has worked wonderfully and has been effective, you know, from a brand owner perspective, I am prepared to acknowledge personally that I think there must be some problem with it if it took Madrid as long as it did to get an approved ALP approved. And so there clearly must be some kind of issue either with understanding of the process or of how one goes about getting approval from ICANN. And so I think it does warrant consideration. But I think that's a very, you know, as I said last week, you know, lumping the three things together is less helpful because, you know, I don't think that we really have anyone with a problem with the QLP per se. We did have some feedback, which I think came from Amadeo, that said he'd had all, you know, some problems, da, da, da. And then the QLP was enacted. And the inference from what I took from what he said was once the QLP was in place, that problem went away because the QLP addressed it. But I think there probably is, it at least warrants us getting some understanding from those who've attempted to go through the process of why it was such a pain point to try to get an ALP approved.
Thank you, Susan. Before we go to Maxim, it occurs to me in listening to what you were saying and to some extent what others are saying that we may have a scope issue in that this is the Sunrise subteam. So what we need to be thinking about is how either Sunrise or these programs need to be tweaked so that the friction is, you know, the friction is identified and then a solution is found. The larger issues of how to run these programs, I think, falls into sub-pro. And so as whatever their problems are, if they don't have a Sunrise related aspect predominating, I feel uncomfortable, you know, discussing them here. Would want to refer it over to sub pro. At least that's my thinking on that point. Maxim, please go ahead.
Maxim Alzoba for the transcript. Actually, just to correct Susan about that, QLP is perfectly worked. QLP is limited to 100 items. And for a city in which more than 200 or 300 streets, monuments, like points of historical importance, etc., it's not enough. Because you can deliver police and few other important names, but in case of Moscow, initially mayor's office wanted to have the street names, and we told them no, it's not possible because the number is limited to 100, and without being able to reserve and then to deliver those names in limited period where only the subsidiaries of the mayor's office, ministries of the city were eligible. It would be not possible to deliver those names to the city. And if we decide to make a situation where trademark owners will be able to challenge GUTLDs, we would see lots of things, including the local legislation, forcing local geo registries to deliver those names. if we don't want to be the cause of the segmentation, I would not definitely recommend to go this route. And that's why I recommend to see QLP, ALP, and limited periods with reserved names altogether. If we separate it and we see it as something not tied, then we might create something unworkable. And I would like to underline that the only set of registries who are aware of those issues are georegistries. If we take into account opinions of other registries, we might have opinion on those who actually saw how it worked from outside and not particularly those who tried it. Thank you.
Thanks, Maxim. Susan, please go ahead.
Lovely. Thank you. Hi, it's Susan. Thanks, Maxim. I certainly didn't mean to dismiss your concerns if you had them. I just wasn't aware from what we'd got from the survey results that we really had anyone saying that there was an issue with the QLP. So that's very interesting. Now, I suppose one way one might look at that then is that, you know, the QLP is a kind of standard approach, however many names it is, and I know it's 100 at the moment. You know, the QLP is a kind of standard approach, and the idea is if you what you want to do in your individual registry doesn't fit within that, that's where the ALP comes in. And of course, yes, I think the ALP has been difficult for applicants. To go to Greg's point, I don't know what the difficulty's been. That's you know, where we started this out when Christine raised it. But the interplay is with the Sunrise, because the idea of the ALP, the Approved Launch Program, is to try to get some kind of launch ability to do a launch process or phase which would be in breach of the Sunrise effectively. So i.e. being able to allocate more names than something like the QLP allowed you to do as a derogation from the Sunrise, or being able to allocate to different parties in some way, or being able to allocate earlier than the Sunrise to certain sets of people. Now, if it turns out that the feedback is that the issues have not been really Sunrise related at all, and there's some other issue that's to do with, I don't know, you know, how you deal with GDD staff, I don't know, then maybe that isn't an issue for this working group, but that's the information that I think we need. But it definitely has an interplay with the Sunrise.
Thank you, Susan. And I didn't mean to question that with what I said. So I think that, you know, it's fair to say that there is, you know, a good deal of this that remains in our jurisdiction. And I was thinking just of, you know, kind of more technical questions that have nothing to do with how it interacts with Sunrise or any Sunrise effects or the like. But it's, as everyone I think has pointed out, maybe it was useful to do so. There are, you know, definite, you know, and I think identified friction points with Sunrise, and that need to be resolved. So then the question is, you know, right now, I don't believe we have any recommendations. We have a discussion that we've had about having a, you know, some questions and, you know, perhaps a micro mini issues report before it that, you know, sets the table for those questions by coming out with the, you know, appropriate, you know, with the official definitions and maybe some explanations if those definitions are impenetrable in some fashion. I think that seems to be where we're headed. And then we try to get the concrete problems coming back to us, you know, fact-based expressions, ideally, of problems that did occur in the previous round or things that discouraged people from even going there because of, you know, the things that relate to the Sunrise friction, if you will. And I don't think we have much data on that yet. So, and we certainly don't have time for another data gathering process. So I think the data gathering process from this point on is the initial report, which does allow for specific questions to be asked to help to inform the working group. So I think that's, to my mind, where we seem to stand on question eight. Anybody disagree with that or want to add to that? If not, then the next question is how to come up with this question set and maybe the micro mini issues list. I have a deep desire to nominate Christine and Maxim because they understand the nuances better than many of us and have spoken to it very well. But that's, of course, unfair to voluntell anybody at this point to do that. But throw the floor, the chat open to this. We can certainly just open up a thread on this, but an unseated thread doesn't seem to flourish that much. I see Christine saying that I'm sure we can work on something together, right, Maxine? So I'm hopeful that we get a thread started in some fashion. Maxim and Christine maybe can throw some stuff out there, and then we can work from there. And one of the things we need to do is distinguish between the ALP, QLP, and LRP. And I see a question from Griffin. Is that ALP is in need of review, but not the QLP or LRP? Is there any thought on that? Maxim, please go ahead.
Please add the reserved lists, because if the reserved lists work the same as in the last round, so for example, there are no challenges to the registry, which adds some name for geo-registry, which adds name of your monument, for example, or some particular station to the list by someone, by some trademark owner who has same string. Then QLP and our limited periods, fine. But if it's going to be changed, then the whole structure, which was used by all GUs in the last round because of the absence of workable ALP, is not going to work. And we might have issues. And even I'm not sure if it's going to be approved because of the GAC and, basically registries too. Thanks.
Maxim, Kathy?
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Maxim, I think, or let me throw this out to everyone, not to delay us on this, but if I remember correctly, when we were talking about reserved names, we did not talk about generally expanding them beyond 100, if I remember correctly. So that if that's the issue, we should be looking at reserved names specifically as applied to the, let me see if I can get it right, ALP, QLP, and LRP. So Maxim, if that's a specific problem, my sense is that we should deal with it specifically. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Maxim, back to you.
Maxim Azoba for the transcript. Actually, I meant the combination of QLP, LRP, and reserved names. The thing is, if we separate it from discussion about what ALP and QLP, we might have issues on implementation level. And for QLP and ALP, what I heard from GEOS was, yes, 100 might not be enough, but we don't want to fight for it if it extends the next round. The same for ALP. If it doesn't work and GEOS can deliver what they promised to cities After all, it's possible to do by reserved list and limited period for the city. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. So, do we have any proposals? I mean, I think we still have this proposal to, you know, engage in a fact-finding mission. And I guess the question is whether to do so with regard to reserve names, or at least the interplay between the use of reserve names in the ALP versus the Sunrise. Again, I'm not sure we look at the, generally speaking, at the at reserve names, which are, you know, I think definitely being dealt with elsewhere. But I think you're right in that if they are an element of the program, need to be looked at in that regard. I see no further hands on this. So I think what I would hope is that the action on this point is to either shift. There is already an open discussion thread for Q8, so we may as well use that for Christine, Maxim, and anybody else that wants to contribute to the planned, questions for public comment to respond to. I think is where we should go with this. Definitely, you know, move this to that particular thread. We don't need a new thread for it. So now I think that does move us, if I'm not mistaken, I don't see the agenda on my screen for whatever reason. I think we're up to question 10 at this point now. Not unrelated to question 9 in a sense. Explore use and the types of proof required by the TMCH when purchasing domains in the Sunrise period. That's the entire question. It's not even phrased in the form of a question. That would fail on Jeopardy. I will open the queue. Michael Karanikolas, please go ahead.
Hi, Michael Karanikolas for the record. Thanks. Just before we moved on, I just wanted to do a quick aside on question 9, if that's all right, before we jumped over that. I know we had a good discussion on that last week, and that there's a vibrant discussion on it going on the list. But there is one thing that I wanted to draw the group's attention to, namely that I do think that there's some lingering confusion maybe about the phrasing of the question in question number 9, as well as what's actually in the proposal, because I think that some of that, rather proposal 13, because I think some of that is at the core of some of the confusion, which was sort of just explained in comments that came through right before this call. Question 9, I believe, mentions that trademarks should be limited to the use, or the application of trademarks in, as used in the Sunrise, should be limited to the use with which they were registered in the clearinghouse. And I think that that had led to some concern on behalf of some that if a trademark was only registered for one particular use but used for a bunch of different others, that brand owners would have to re-register a trademark multiple times, leading to additional expenses. So just to clarify that, I think that what proposal number 13 aims at is a narrower solution to that. And that's sort of why I was trying to push the conversation away from focus on categories of registration and towards more plain language justifications about the use of different marks. So I did want to make that clarification. And I also wanted to interject as well to discuss that I think that there is still some disagreement as to how arduous the process would be or how labor intensive. And I do think that that's something that can be addressed based on the language and based on how stringent the test is made. But I think that that's something that can hopefully be worked out in discussion later on to try to minimize how challenging and time intensive and how much of an obstacle the test is to legitimate registrants, which I think we would all have an interest in minimizing. So again, apologies if that's taking us off scope. That's not my intention, but I did want to interject that before we jumped from 8 to 10, just to make sure that there was a bit of a chance to revisit that. Thanks.
Thanks, Michael. I have seen Mitch Stoltz's hand, but it has gone down. So I'm assuming that whatever he might have said was, you know, covered by you or obviated by what you said. I would suggest that we all go to the thread for question 9 and, you know, deal with this there. And also, just as a cautionary note, try not to deal with it on email threads that are not question number 9 thread. Because all that means is that staff has to try to cut and paste stuff back into the thread. And meanwhile, more people are on the other thread if that happens. So we just need to watch the process on that. And certainly, Michael, if you have some, you know, suggestions about how those you know, issues you mentioned might be resolved or mitigated, you know, let's put them down there and let's see what other people think of them. And, you know, vice versa, let's see what other people think of as are the issues with either the, you know, the policy level or the implementability of the proposal or, you know, the basis of the proposal, whatever it might be. Let's get that into the thread, please. The threads are important. So that brings us back to question number 10, not phrased in the form of a question. Explore use and the types of proof required by the TMCH when purchasing domains in the Sunrise period. Any comments?
Greg, could you repeat that one again? I'm sorry, it's Claudia.
Sure. And I'm getting some background, maybe that's just you, Claudia. Explore use and the types of proof required by the TMCH when purchasing domains in the Sunrise period.
Okay, thank you. Greg, it's Claudia. Can I make a comment?
Sure, go ahead.
I think this might be related to the SDRP policy. Maybe not directly, but indirectly, because the SDRP involves, the policy essentially involves whether the use of the mark is bona fide on some level. And so I think they're interrelated, but of course, you know, we could look at it separately, but I just wanted to note that.
Thank you, Claudio. I see the connection in that if there was going to be a challenge to a Sunrise registration, the proof and the use potentially could be you know, part of that challenge. As we've discussed before, there's kind of a Trademark Clearinghouse side of this and a Sunrise side of this, and maybe a third side potentially if we, you know, look at you know, the individual proposal on question number 9. Any other comments on this? I know that there had been, I think, some discussion before. I mean, we know what the proof of use comments are, that what we have. I'm missing people's hands because they are above my scroll. I'll stop talking and ask Christine, followed by Phil and Kathy.
Thanks, this is Christine Durain. I think you were actually coming to the point I was going to make, Greg, which is that I feel like we did discuss the use and types of proof required by the TMCH when we discussed the TMCH. And so I feel like probably this is one of those sort of vestigial questions that actually ended up getting looped in a different conversation, because what we're talking about here is specifically the administration of the Sunrise itself. And from the way, you know, the you know, registries and registrars implement Sunrise isn't at all, I mean, it is literally a one or a zero. The trademark claims, the trademark clearinghouse comes back with a yes, it's in here, no, it's not. I mean, that's it. So I think that this question doesn't actually belong here. And I think we've already discussed it. So unless other people think there's something else going on, that's where I think we're at here.
Thank you, Christine. Phil?
Yeah, Phil, speaking of personal capacity, my comment is similar to Christine's. I don't understand what recommendations this question might lead to. There's nothing required by the TMCH when purchasing domains in the Sunrise period. The question barely makes sense. We are aware that there's some gaming in terms of what gets registered in the trademark clearinghouse. We can focus on whether we should tighten the requirements for what marks can be recorded there when we address the TMCH following the conclusion of these two sub-teams. That's our last task before drafting an initial report. And the Sunrise period is for rights holders to give them a chance to protect their marks against cyber squatting by putting them at the head of the line at the cost of generally a higher registration price. In the Sunrise period, all the so-called data listed in what I can see on the screen here seems to relate to questionable registrations of dictionary words. Without reading the articles, I can guess those weren't for the purpose of protecting those marks against infringement, but more likely the purpose of reselling those generic words in the secondary market. So I think we should quickly dispose of this question. It's not, it doesn't seem apropos to what we're discussing, and it doesn't, it's poorly phrased and doesn't naturally point to any recommendations that might arise from it. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Kathy, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Respectfully disagree with Phil, and I will refer to the summary table and particularly the data previously collected and the additional data submitted. So clearly when this question was phrased, there was the kernel of a problem, but it was phrased very broadly on purpose. So explore use and the types of proof required by the TMCH when purchasing domains in the Sunrise period. So of course, as you know, to use, our information says 96% of the active TMCH records are Sunrise eligible because you need proof of use to be in the Sunrise. Implying Deloitte is accepting the proof of use 96% of the time. And Deloitte has a clearly defined proof of use verification process. And so one of the things that I think this question or this sentence as part of question 10 leads to is, do we want to expand proof of use for all registrations if we're already in all recordings or recordals in the TMCH? If we're already at 96%, why not go to 100%? And then there's no issue whether you're Sunrise ready, I'll also note that our summary says, as Sunrise service, quote, operates off the data in the TMCH, close quote, anecdotes about the actual potential abuses of Sunrise by registrants, trademark owners, registries taking advantage of the TMCH may be a factor to consider in the working group's discussion of the use and types of proof required by the TMCH when purchasing domains in the Sunrise period, e.g. token use in the TMCH validation system. So that token use is kind of applied to be a problem. And we have links to reports, blog postings, journalists talking about kind of stealing generic terms and Sunrises and not by famous trademark owners. This is the gaming that we're talking about. Can we cut off the gaming? So proof of use may be another avenue or an additional avenue to consider. It doesn't, we're already at 96% registrations or quartals in TMCH with proof of use. Why not go to 100%? It seems an easy way to make everybody ready for Sunrise and probably cut down on some, not all, but some of the gaming. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Feel like that's probably an old hand, so I'll go to Maxine.
Maxim Alzoba, for the record. As I remember, the conversations about the proof of use were not easy because, for example, if we take the example I provided where the person sends 3D printed the prototype of something to someone else, maybe his friend or neighbor, and has paid for it, and then it used for the registry to be eligible for TMCH Sunrises. Actually, this thing cannot be distinguished from the real startup where people are just starting their ideas and their business. So I'm not sure that it can be resolved. And if we talk at all, and another conversation set we had about that, about the eligibility where, for example, some company has right to sell food and then they use this name to sell bricks, for example. But the registries, if it's not a special kind of TLDs such as bank where they actually track the if the bank has license and have procedures for extraction. They don't track contents of the websites, I'd say. And if there are no policies of the particular TLD preventing the registrants from some use which is different from what was desired by the moment of registration, there is no way to deprive the registrant from such registration. I'm sorry for mistake, it's service, it's not something you can deprive the person of, but to cancel service. Thanks.
Susan Payne's hand, and unfortunately, I've come to my witching hour for this meeting. I have a meeting in the office I have to go to. So, David, I will hand you the virtual gavel, or as it's called in Washington, the gravel, and call on Susan Payne next. Thank you all. Bye.
Thanks, Craig. Bye. Hi, it's Susan, everyone. Thank you. I'm concerned by the attempt to use this non-question and interpret it in a way which would have a conversation and a discussion that we've had at some length in the claims group by virtue of interpreting this question as in some way covering what percentage of TMCH users decide to lodge a proof of use or not, and a suggestion that, oh, there's only 4% who don't, so why don't we just make everyone do it? There's a very good reason why some people have chosen not to do it. It's not very many of them, as has been noted, but the reason is because the claims doesn't require proof of use as it currently stands, and as I said, we've had an extensive discussion in the claims sub-team about that very topic, and it is completely inappropriate to start trying to interpret this non-question in such a way as to reopen that. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Hello, everybody. It's David McCauley speaking. I see that Kathy's hand is up. Before I go to Kathy, let me just make a comment, excuse me, that it may make sense to open a thread on this exhortation, this non-question, and open the thread in such a way that Greg and I would work with staff to do the phrasing of the thread, because Susan raises a good point. We don't want to replicate what's being done in the trademark claims group. Excuse me. I think my personal feeling is I tend to agree with the comments that were made by Phil and I think by Griffin. But I think Christine also had a good point. There's a genesis for this question, and maybe we ought to go back and look at what that is and open a thread that, you know, for the next week or whatever it is that says, you know, the expectation is that this question will be passed on, but if you have anything you want to contribute germane to this that doesn't replicate what's going on in trademark claims, I'm not putting the wording very well, but something along those lines. Anyway, that's just a suggestion. So I'm done with that. I'll next go then to Kathy, whose hand is up. Go ahead, Kathy.
Let me just support what you're saying, David. This is Kathy. That there is a genesis to this question. It is sitting in the Sunrise summary table, and it's before us. So thanks. I look forward to discussing it on the thread.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute. So I have a feeling that this draws a line under that. And again, staff, I think Greg and I would like to chat with you about that particular thread. I think it needs to be worded differently than other threads may have been. So that all being said, let's turn to question 11. Whoops, there was a hand just for a moment. Susan, I see a hand from you. Why don't you go ahead?
Sorry, and my screen is going mad, so I don't know if everyone else is having the same issue.
I think my screen was just going mad, and I saw a hand from you and from Julie Hedlund, but I think I'm just going to chalk it up to initial Zoom experience. So let's move on then to question. My screen is really going. Okay, let's go on to question 11. I'll just go ahead. It's a short question. I'll go ahead and read it out. Subpart A, how effectively, I'm going to change one word. I'm going to change the word can to are. So let me say, how effectively are trademark holders who use non-English scripts languages able to participate in Sunrise, including IDN Sunrises? And B, should any of them, I'm not exactly sure what them refers to, but should any of them be further internationalized, such as in terms of service providers, languages served, et cetera? And so I'm going to ask if anyone has comments on that. Maxim, I'm particularly interested if you do. But anyone else who might be using such non-English scripts and languages. Maxim, your hand's up. Why don't you go ahead?
Maxim Alzoba. This time I will speak in registrar capacity because as you can see in my statement of interest, we're in cross control with a couple of registrars in Russia. And on registrar side, we spend lots of time and efforts to actually advertise that lots of sunrises are going to happen by then, by that time. And that all you need is to register your trademark in the clearinghouse, and it will give you the opportunity of the first bite on those TLDs if you are eligible. And there were very few registrations one of the reasons that transliteration was not that one of the reasons was that transliterations were not allowed, and it was a local habit of badly transliterating some term and using it in the local CTLD. Thanks.
Thank you, Maxim. And I don't see any other hands in the queue. And if that's the case, then we can move on and put question 12 on the floor. I do see Michael's question in the chat, and if there's time after we get to 12, we'll come back to that. Or that can be treated as a thread. But let me go ahead and move on to 12. I'll just check one more time to see if there's any hands there or not. Question 12, should the Sun, it's also in two parts. A, should Sunrise registrations have priority over other registrations under specialized GTLDs? And B, should there be a different rule for some registries, such as certain types of specialized GTLDs, for instance, community or GOTLDs, based on their published registration eligibility policies? Examples include police.paris and police.nyc for GOTLDs and windows.construction for specialized GTLDs. So, unless my Zoom is again going crazy, I thought I saw a hand from Kathy. Maxim, is that an old hand from you or is that a new hand?
Maxim Alzoba, just short notice, at the same face-to-face meeting, we have reference to Amadeo from CORE. He said that they experienced issues with TMCH because some of European languages with the non-English Latin script, like something with hyphens, they had issues because some of the trademark owners couldn't register and use their name. That's it. Thanks.
Maxim, here's a question for you. The conversation from Amadeo, I thought I just heard you say that this was in the same conversation that was being referred to earlier in a different context. Is that a fair statement? Maxim, if you're answering, we can't hear you.
Yes, it's the same moment of time when Amadeo was describing the issues with ALP. I mentioned that moment. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Maxim. And so what I would like to sort of say as an aside to staff is when we open a thread on question 12, let's try and get a link to, I know there's a link to that comment from Amadeo. I can't remember where it is, but if we could just get it and put that link in the thread, that might be helpful. So looking at hands, I see Kathy's hand. Go ahead, Kathy, take the floor, please.
Great, thanks, David. I was wondering if we want to link the threads of question 12 and question 8, because, and everybody correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like we're talking about geos again. Looks maybe like we're talking about communities as well, but the issues in question 12 sound a lot like the issues we were dealing with the ALP, the QLP, and the LRP. So does it make sense to break them out? Or are there enough community TLD issues to keep these as separate questions? Can we merge them? And I also wanted to go back to question 11 briefly and see whether that's a question that might be ripe for taking the approach that we took with, I forget which question, but kind of phrasing some general questions for input from the public in the initial report to see more about what the problems are and maybe get a sense of how people would solve them. Thanks, David.
Okay, thank you, Kathy. So I was gonna comment, but I see Phil has a hand up. I'll go to Phil. Go ahead, Phil, take the floor.
Yeah, thanks. Still speaking in a personal capacity. I think we need to, one, refine this question a bit more. I'm not sure what the term specialized GTLDs means. Two types are referred to: community. Well, we've had very few community TLDs and GOTLDs, other than reserving, if it's .nyc or .paris, reserving certain names, and they could do this under reserve name policy for governmental units. That might well be in the registry operator's contract with the jurisdiction that consented to the TLD. I think that would take care of it. For something like dot construction, a lot of these verticals that suggest a certain, I'm not sure what construction means. Does that mean constructing buildings and bridges or constructing websites? If they've got rules that they enforce on who can, what types of entities can register like .bank does or .insurance does or .pharmacy does, then that keeps other parties out. But if it's open to anybody, I don't know why you would have different Sunrise registration rules of a trademark, other things their mark might be infringed, more likely to be infringed in that particular TLD. So let's define what means by specialized, but I think generally where I'm coming from is that it's a TLD between its reserved name policy and its if it has vetting rules for registrants, they can take care of it, and it's not really our job to intervene in that. But it wouldn't suggest that no, unless it's a dot brand or a heavily vetted TLD like dot bank, that there's no need for Sunrise registrations. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. I saw Kathy's hand, but let me, oh, Kathy's hand is there. Go ahead, Kathy. I'm having real problems with Zoom right now, but go ahead.
No, you're not, David. I put it up. I took it down. I put it up again.
Okay.
I think we have heard about problems with reserved names, that 100's not enough. We heard that from Amadeo. We heard it from Maxim. So I thought with question 8, that's one of the things we are going out for, is to find out more about that. So I think, I like the idea of joining up Q8 and Q12. It looks like there's some support for that in the chat. But I don't think we have a solution for all that yet. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And seeing no further hands or not hearing anyone jumping in, let me react to your suggestion that we join, to see if we can join questions 8 and 12. And I will discuss that with Greg and staff. Personally speaking, anything we can do to create efficiencies, to move things along, perhaps a little bit more, you know, a little more quickly if we can, that would be fine with me. And so I'm certainly willing to look at it. And as I said, I'll discuss it with the others. I think it will make sense so long as we do it in such a fashion that if somebody, that, you know, everybody understands that we're not trying to take away their chance to make a comment, anything like that. So we'll do it in such a way that it'll be open and allow folks to weigh in on either one question as they wish. But I think it's a great idea, so we'll do it. And then your other comment was, can we join question 11, or can we treat question 11 as we did an earlier question? And I think the earlier question was on the ALP, QLP, et cetera, where we simply ask questions in our report for some additional information. And I would give you the same answer. I think we should look at that and see what we can come up with and then pass it by the group. So thank you for the suggestions. We are now through the charter questions that we had on today's agenda. And so we've come to that point. Let me just take a real quick check for hands, but we've come to the point where there's AOB. And so I'm going to turn it to Julie to handle the AOB portion. I don't see any other hands, so I think we're there. Julie, would you like to take that on?
Hi, thanks, David. It's Julie Hedlund from staff. And just to, before I do that, just back to the question of merging charter questions and merging questions, there's two things on the chat. One is merging questions. We don't see how that's possible because these are the agreed upon charter questions. Okay, Maxim, it looks like, is saying that that's not necessarily what he meant. Yeah, because I don't see how we can actually merge charter questions. We can indicate where there might be links between them, or where recommendations might apply to both. And we'll discuss with you, as you note, offline as to what we might do with the discussion threads for questions. We have already opened one for 8, so I'm not quite sure how we would deal with that. But if we have discussion that happens on a newly opened thread, then we'd really have to kill that thread. So we'll talk offline with you about that.
Thank you.
And there was no any other business per se when we asked. But one thing that, just going back to, I think what Greg had mentioned before, as any other business, was just how the the subteam is operating, and noting that this is, as he said, per the procedures, the procedures that were drafted for the subteams, that the subteams are to be drafting the preliminary recommendations and the answers to the charter questions and reviewing the individual proposals, and then making the recommendation to the full working group. And only those proposals that get wide support in the subteam would move on for, recommendation to be considered at the working group level, if there was wide support to include an individual proposal in the initial report, then that would be the recommendation that would go up to the full working group. If there was not wide support, then that proposal would not be put forth as a recommendation for the full working group for inclusion in the initial report. Staff can send around those procedures again as a reminder. I don't think I have anything else to mention, but I do see that Kathy Kleiman's hand is up.
And can I get in the queue as well as Claudia?
Yes, Claudia, please.
Thank you.
I see Kathy's hand is down, I think. And so I think it's you.
Julie, I haven't any other business, but I'll wait till after the discussion here. Thanks.
Okay, and I'm just noting we have 8 minutes left.
Yeah, Kathy, you could go ahead because mine is under AOB as well.
Okay, well, does anybody want to comment on anything Julie just said? Because I don't want to cut off. It's an important issue, kind of how we treat these proposals and ideas. So let me pause for a second. Okay, I just hadn't any other business because we're coming into the Marrakesh meeting, and although schedules are subject to change, I wanted to let people know, and staff, correct me if I'm wrong, that our meetings look like they'll be taking place on the Tuesday and Thursday of the Marrakesh meeting, because this is a policy meeting. We don't have, it's short. We don't have the public forums and things like that. So the last day of the meeting, the Thursday, is a regular meeting day. So again, it looks like we're scheduled now for two meetings on Tuesday and two meetings on Thursday. I just thought that might be of interest to people. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. And I do want to say that because the high interest topics have not yet been agreed to and their placement in the schedule, we can't confirm right now that will be the case. But as soon as the high interest topics are confirmed and the schedule is confirmed, we will get that schedule out to all of you because we know you need to plan. So thank you for that, Kathy. Claudia?
Yes. So I initially did not have AOB at the start of the call, but based on something that Greg said, I wanted to just seek possibly some clarification from David or others on the team regarding the proposal, the spanning the dot proposal that I had put forward. I just wanted to clarify, because David sent something around that the new GTLD working group had sent this over to our team for consideration. And so I guess what I was seeking clarity on is David had suggested in that email that we potentially reinitiate that discussion based on some of the input that the subpro group sent over. I had suggested that we put this out for public comment. So I just wanted to make sure that we're doing the right thing here. And if there is a preference of restarting the conversation in light of what SubPro is saying or putting it out for public comment, I'm just not sure if there's a preference there. I'm happy to do both. But since Greg referred me over to the list, I just wanted to see if I can gauge the temperature of the group in terms of if there's any preference there.
Thank you for that, Claudio. And I see David has got his hand up, but I think with respect to Greg's suggestion, I think his point was that we do have an open discussion thread on that item. And so that is still open, and we're welcoming yours and others' comments in that thread. And then based on that discussion, the subteam would decide whether or not to make a recommendation to put the proposal out, to the full working group to put the proposal out for public comment in the initial report. I think that's generally how the procedures are set to work. But let me go to David. David, please.
Thanks. Excuse me. Thanks, Julie. It's David speaking. Thank you, Claudio. I just wanted to make sure we were clear on this. Claudio's proposal is proposal number 9, so that everybody would be able to look at the proposal that he made. The sub-pro team, what they sent over is actually captured in an email from Jeff Newman to our co-chairs of the plenary group, and Phil Corwin sent it on to us in an email on February the 10th, I think it was. And so it's those two, they two deal with Span the Dot. I can't recall right now that they're exactly the same, that they match up perfectly, but I think Greg and I and staff can take a look at that too. But the other point I wanted to make is one Julie just made. That thread is still open. And so comments are welcome. So thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks very much, David. Thanks, Claudio. We have 4 minutes left. Does anybody have anything else they wish to raise? I'm not seeing any. David, I think that might be an old hand. And if so, then
sorry,
I want
sorry
to.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I want to thank David and also Greg for both chairing today. And thank you all for joining us. And we hope you have a great morning, afternoon, or evening. And this call is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks, everyone. This meeting's adjourned. You can disconnect your lines and have a good rest of your day. One night.